Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Before we have the reading, we're going to pray with Keith before he brings our message to us this morning. Lord, we just lift up Keith now, and we just pray that that his word, your word, will fly through him, Lord, and we'll hear a little of him and everything of you, Lord, and that ears will be unblocked. We've probably been sat here for thousands and thousands of sermons, Lord. We just pray that this morning we'll hear it new, we'll hear it fresh, and it will unlock hearts, Lord, and unlock ears. We just pray for this church as well, Lord, because it needs praying for, Lord. We lift you up. I once heard on Frank's social page, Lord, he said, we don't want to hear pastors that tickle our ears. We want to hear the endearing word of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, and we just pray this church will always preach it. Amen.
There you go. You want to hold it? If you undo the clip, there you go. It's right to your mouth. Yep. Is that better? Yeah. I'll be doing the reading today from Matthew. Before that, I just have a very short testimony regarding the teaching of last week about honoring your parents. And I mentioned that to Keith, and Keith told me just to share briefly about this. Last week, I reconciled with my mom because I had a very difficult relationship with her for a very, very long time. And it gets more difficult when your parents are pastors and preachers. They rejected me when I married a Muslim. But even if I've come back to the Lord, they still had this resentment towards me. But what Keith told us last week, it's a commandment. It's not a choice. It's not you reflect on it, or you try to use the word to prove to yourself what you're doing, but it's a commandment, and a commandment is an order from God. And when you're looking at the different command, the word that Keith has been sharing, the commandments to the parents just come after God. Before, the four commandments was addressing us how we behave towards God, and the fifth one is to behave towards our parents. So that is very vital, because parents are the closest people, and sometimes it can get very difficult. God hasn't given us a commandment to love them or to obey them, but to honor them, to give them the respect they deserve. So I have done that, praise the Lord. Right, we'll be reading in Matthew 5, verse 13 to 26. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to be a brother or sister, Raka, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says you fall will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar of these, remember that your brother or sister has something against you. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Amen.
So many gadgets this morning, it's unbelievable. Inspector Gadget or something. There's the band earpiece and there's the guitar and there's the plugging and things like this. I normally don't play. Most of you know me. I don't play and speak at the same time. So I was asked to play and I thought, oh, maybe they're a bit short of musicians. And I got here. There's quite a few. But it was good. It's nice to keep the hand in. I really have great respect for the worship team. They've got so much to contend with on a morning, not in a vacuum of practicing. They've got all sorts going on. And obviously today, something's gone on, which is a great tragedy. And we need to pray for that. And we don't know the detail. I'm sure it'll come out. But it just reminds me of the brevity, you know, the uncertainty. One guy coming around the corner probably, and the other guy, next thing. We plan. Do not say today and tomorrow we're going to do this. We have this thing. I'm going to kick this into the long grass. I know I should do this, but I'm going to kick it into the long grass. Praise God, Melanie, you're here today to declare the fact that you've really prayed about your mum. You could have waited till next week or the next week or the next week. And this is urgent stuff. There are some things in life, church, that are important, but lots of things are urgent. These are the very things of God where, can I say, often messing with, deciding whether we want to actually do something or not. What are we thinking? These are the things of God. I just want to pray. And today is a real challenge to me. It really, really is. As the Lord pries and goes into how it spills out of our homes to other people, how we are. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, that I might decrease, that we hear his voice alone. Lord Jesus, we need you. 'Tis now, Lord, we do. Holy Spirit of truth, we need you. To take off the harshness of men and to leave the challenge of your word and your truth. Lord, I pray that our response will be of those who desire to follow in every aspect of our lives. Lord, might it be you don't leave any stone unturned in my life. The things I've been satisfied, kind of putting on the back burner for years. Lord, bring them to the fore, as painful as it is. Please, Lord. Not that I have to deal with this, Lord, but you're with me. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. So, Lord, we pray. Lord, we pray for those who've been involved. It looks like in a terrible accident today. We don't know whether they're alive or dead. Lord, where were they with you? Lord, it could have been us. Yet still we deliberate. Still we debate and try and find Scripture to back our indifference. Might it be, Lord, you'd help us. We pray for those suffering this weekend as we The nation even remembers Armed Forces Day. So many colleagues and people that suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder and other associated things because of the horrors of man's inhumanity to man. Oh Lord, we pray, Maranatha, come back, Lord Jesus. We pray that one day, Lord, all this will be aside, and I pray we will be found faithful as you come, a people, about your business. Help us to know you deeply now, Lord, to invest in you now, that when we see you in eternity, Lord, we might know you, and you'll say, well done, good and faithful servant, for your glory. Amen. So those of you, most of you will know, we're doing a series. If you're a visitor, we're doing a series in Exodus. It's been a while, becoming who we are, about what it means to follow the Lord who saved us. Nothing has changed. The brief in Scripture is exactly the same now. We tend to relate the word disciple, I understand that, with the New Testament, probably with the first 12. And that's a very common thing for us to do. But we see here, we've been seeing, if you listen back online, that following is part of being brought out. It's inseparable. It completely is. We've said quite clearly that if it was simply about salvation, then the book of Exodus would stop at chapter 15. That's what would happen, which is where perhaps we stop in our journey with the Lord. We are saved and we have a story to tell of being brought out from our previous way of life, and we join a worship service and stay there forever until Jesus comes. That can happen. And then we serve the service. And it's really interesting. But this is not a me and God thing. As we move on to this Decalogue, the detail of the Ten Commandments, we see a summary of what it really means to live for Yahweh or Kyrios or Jesus, the same. The Lord who brought us out, that champion. And we've seen, we could call this really, that the Lord is calling a people into what we would call whole life transformation. There is nothing less that is acceptable. That we lay ourselves on the altar in all of these difficult areas of life. We don't have to be commanded to do anything we naturally do. I say this quite a lot. If you see a command, it's because we naturally don't want to do it. So God has to command us to do it. Honor your parents. How hard is that? I did that last week and I acknowledged at the beginning how difficult it's been if we're from an abusive home or all sorts of different things that we've hated. But please listen to that. It's had some traction. The Lord's been at work. But whole life transformation involves two things. It involves our attitude to God and our attitude to other people. That's it. Jesus, we know, captured this in his commandments. Well, he was asked what the greatest commandment was. That's always a good one, isn't it? Well, if I'm focused on the top one or two, I don't have to do five, honor your father and mother, I don't have to do the others. And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus caught every single one of the Ten Commandments, whether it's toward God or whether it's towards people, in that summary. And that's what our approach is. And we saw last week is that our living and loving of Jesus, it spills out, it's got to spill out from the mountain center. It's got to spill out from the place where we're instructed. It's got to mean something outside where we receive the blueprint for living. How many of us say, well, it was a good word today, Pastor? Or, I went to church, oh, it was good today. You should listen to it. Someone else should listen to this. Well, it's you who are here. If you're online, good. Technology. But it spills out. And it spills out, we saw last week, to our families. And this is so hard. If you've had the perfect family, congratulations. But the annoying thing about the commandment is that the Lord doesn't qualify it. Honor your father and mother. That was last week. It doesn't say, especially if they're nice to you. Say that. It's so annoying when he does. Is this going? Oh, I can hear it. You shall honor your father and mother. And we saw last week, and we asked the question that being a disciple, a follower, whatever words, if you don't like disciple, use Christ follower. If you don't like that, then see me afterwards. People say to me, I'm sick of everyone going on about discipleship. What? What do you think the whole Bible's about? Following Jesus. Becoming like him. And we asked the question last week, because this is good. I can really rock out on that guitar on the stage. I can look good. Well, not so good, you know. But we asked last week, what is it like? How do we follow when no one is watching? Yeah, absolutely right. Bless you. How do we follow when no one is watching? Because it spills out of our home, but also today it spills out of our homes into our interaction with others, other human lives, the way we treat people. You see, I honestly think that we live in a time where it seems never has human life been so devalued. This horrific news story yesterday, a 26-year-old woman was stabbed to death, 8 months pregnant in London. What is going on? Well, pray for our emergency services. We live in a time murdered for a phone, for gang rivalry, people trafficked for financial gain, human people. If you're in the way, this is the motto of that. If you're in the way of what I want, I will take you out of the way. It's true. But Jesus, you see, highlighted it and says, hey, we can point at those people, but did you see the seed of what that, where it all starts from? He goes right back and says, I tell you, if you're angry. So that disqualifies me in life. People might say, what I want matters more than your life. So I've entitled today, Serving Him, Following Him, Being a Christ Follower in Valuing Others. And here we see what I would consider the utmost when it comes to devaluing another life. You shall not murder. Exodus 20:13, Commandment 6. You shall not murder. It's got to be the most ultimate devaluing of a life, of a person. You know, and I like this. There are all sorts of programs today. You see, the world hasn't got a solution. I see it on the news, and it's good. I'm not deriding any of these things, by the way. We need to work together with people. But there are all sorts of programs designed to correct or to educate against knife crime. What it is, the problem is, people say, is education. If we just educate young people, they won't want to stab somebody. Can I just tell you that might help, but it's not the solution. It's a sticky plaster over internal stuff that's going on here. True transformation of a life takes a deeper supernatural work of the Spirit of God on a life. Do we see? So how might we start to think differently on these things? We have got the keys. We have the Word of God. We have the Lord who has appeared. Paul says this, doesn't he, about his own people. Isn't there the law? Don't they have the covenants and the promises? Is God going to leave them now? We have so much. Don't you feel blessed in the West as a Christian, or do you feel hamstrung at your following? In 3 or 4 weeks' time, we've got Justin and Georgie Hett coming to take a service. They have a different scenario. So how can we? Because Jesus gets to the root of this, just in case, well, I've not murdered anyone, I'm fine. Jesus gets to the root so we could be included at the beginning from Matthew 5 and says, don't get angry. I tell you, if you're angry with someone, this is an issue. This is murder. You are devaluing. So how can we even begin to start valuing people. How can we begin to start valuing people and seeing things differently? And I'm speaking to Christians. I'm speaking to believers who love Jesus today. I know you do. And I know this always comes to me first. But the first thing is we need to have a real desire to see people in His image, as those formed in His image. And it's up there somewhere. We don't have to go very far in Scripture to discover this. Genesis 1, God said, notice the plural, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock, the wild animals, all the creatures that move along the ground. So what does it mean to be in the image of God? We're not God. What does it mean to be in His image? There is hallmark. This capacity to love. Did you know where that came from? Your capacity to love. Your capacity to create beautiful things, lovely things, to nurture. These are all God things that He puts in our very natures, some more than others, with gifting in this particular way. But we do that. We bear His hallmark, the capacity to love and to create and to nurture. We represent His character, His ways and justice and love. That's why most countries, the Ten Commandments, are a good platform for law. They see these things. They can't even describe what they mean, but they just know these are good things not to kill. They know these are good things not to steal. It's in our DNA. God, we're made in His image. And Satan, the enemy, it snatched that away through the fall. You see, that's at least what we're supposed to do. If you look at the pastor's desk today, I said, can we see someone through Christ-tinted spectacles? Do you know what that means? Is that Christ is here and I put these, imagine myself putting these spectacles on you as Christ sees you. Because that means my starting block when you're behaving in a way that really frustrates me, or I don't get my way, is very different. Because I'm seeing you as someone in His image. But you see, the problem is we have the inside track. This is why, in some ways, it's good for us to model what it means to do this. Because we know that Scripture goes on to say that God, in His blueprint, gave us choice. To choose His ways or our own. And then we know in Scripture that since the very first Adam, who chose his own way, that since then, the Bible says in Romans 5, very clearly, it's not me making this up, look at Romans 5, it says that all of us have possessed this rebellious gene since the first Adam. We get it. It just naturally is part of us. It really is. So what's the antidote for the first Adam? Romans 5. Paul talks about a second Adam, Jesus. Someone Paul talks about and says, this second Adam, Christ, came to correct, to model what it really means to undo the work of, to model what it means to really be completely. Now, He was completely, in totality, the very reality of God Himself. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We're not talking about that. But do you know, chat, when we see Him, we will be like Him. Isn't that incredible? I can't get my head around the fact that all those things that annoy you all about me are going to be gone in heaven. I might be a nice guy to know. Giles, really? But you see, Paul says, I mean, in Colossians, he says, you see, the Son in Colossians 1, verse 15, is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn over all creation, in Him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, thrones, powers, rulers, authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He's before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And I just love the fact that Christ came and lived and loved and sacrificed Himself, that me, Keith Foster, at 16 years old, and all those who might come to know Him, might know transformation, that I might see others as those
who are broken, who are made in his image. But under the curse of the first Adam, Romans 5, people are walking past this church today, they've got to. Broken, but loved by God, in his image, yet that rebellion is separating them, and don't we need to say so? See, so this changes the way I see people, Lord, please. They are no longer simply irritating or in my way. They are broken people who need Christ, that they might become the image of God, in a sense that they were always meant to be. That miserable boss can change with the power of the Spirit. Lord, I want to see people through Christ-tinted spectacles. You see, it can't be forced through clever argument. It's never the heat of argument that changes lives. It's about the light of the gospel. That the second Adam has come, that you might have the antidote and no transformation. Aren't you sick of the ugliness in the world? How might we truly value others? Well, it starts by seeing them as broken people who were created to be in the image of God. They're poorly. They need Christ. They really do. And they have responsibility when they find out about that to respond. So how do we, what do we layer on top of that? So I see someone in God's image. I see someone with the potential that Christ sees. The second thing, scriptures say, consider others above yourselves. Isn't that hard? Consider others above yourselves. So how did Christ do this? Just what method did he, what did he do? You see, the Apostle Paul summarized the strategy of God through Christ as he came into this broken world. If you need a great place to go, go to Philippians 2 in your Bible, verse 3. Listen to what Paul says. He gives us a model that is Jesus. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, Philippian church. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Wow. Imagine if this spilled out of our churches. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Well, what are you talking about, Paul? What was Jesus like? All right, sorry, let me tell you. Verse 6. Who, being in very nature God, the highest king, who am I, the highest king, should welcome me. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man. Well, that's humbling. Oh, no, there's more, Keith. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. What sort of death? Was it? Was it casual? Was it a nice death? No, even a death on a cross. Torture. Therefore, it wasn't himself that exalted him. It wasn't all about him. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. A willingness to be less, to go down. Well, they've hurt me. They've offended me. Of course they have. They're broken people. They're unfinished believers. In-house stuff's worse. We're unfinished. We need grace. The oil of grace. The oil that says, I want to see you. Here was Jesus. God himself in the flesh. God, man's servant, death, cross. Wow. Can you see the... I say this every time I read that verse. Down, 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 and down again went Jesus. That's how far church, Philippian church, we go. Well, I forgave him last week, Keith. And it was okay for a little while that they started again. What's the key, though? What is the key? I see them in his image, but do nothing. It's right before the whole passage there. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility. Value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the other. Wow. This is a supernatural God thing. There's no class for this. There's no education program. See, we live in a me world that has an insatiable appetite. If it doesn't get what it wants, it's prepared to fight for it. I've told this story 10 times, but it's true. It's in the gene. I was in the toddler playgroup 7 years ago. Someone sat in a big car. Someone else wanted it. There's a little girl, a sweet little girl, tails in a big toy car. And this little boy went up to her and opened the door and held her out. No questions asked. I want to sit in that car. No one taught that toddler what to do. It's a gene. And I remember the parent, I told you, the parent said to me, "Oh, isn't it, it's okay, isn't it? They'll grow out of it." I said, "You're joking." Later on, it'll be garden fences and driveways and car parking spaces. Are you kidding? Just seen that gene of Adam pop up. Get down. God, please, Lord. Pray for our children's workers. Please. What about us? How might we? Do you know? I'm going to wave this around. I've put it on social media. A few months ago, Leslie and I started a street prayer movement in our street. And it's not easy. And there was things around clearing drives and things like this, but praying. We started a little prayer group. And so what I've wanted to make available, because I think there's something we can all do, is, and so what we've made available is these Love Thy Neighbor starter packs. They're great. At cost price, cheap, £3. You even get a pen with Love Thy Neighbor on it. And some invite cards. Now you're thinking, you see, it's for the very beginner who says, "My neighbors hate me." If your neighbors hate you, brilliant. It's a great place to start. And so if you would like some of those, one of those, have a look. There's a copy at the back. You can sign up for one. And it's something all of us can do. You don't want, trust me, the whole of Bethel Church going to your neighbor's house. You don't want us all doing that. That's a good pen. But it's at the back. And it'd be great. We've been blessed. Our neighbors have been blessed. And we're not even all believers. It's like the lady who helped us design it is not a believer. And she's like, "But this is really great, isn't it? Yeah, this is really important." Oh, have a look. Talk to me about it. How might we truly value others? How might we impact the world, our families, our streets for Jesus? See them as broken people, we're nearly down this, who were created to be in his image. Consider others above, before ourselves. How do we do that? It sounds great, Keith. Where's the pack? That's not going to change a thing. It's in here. What do we do? Thirdly, we keep in step with the Spirit. He's really good at this. He's been reconciling people for centuries. He's brilliant. And I think he could just work in my heart, in your heart. Because there was this horrible person called Saul in Scripture who murdered and hated Christians, and he was transformed and he wrote Philippians 2 with God's inspiration. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe your father-in-law or whoever is Saul-type person. I hope not. But you see, the Lord can transform anybody. We keep in step with the Spirit. And it starts by addressing, not education, more Bible study, that's good though. The core issue, can I use a word, sin? All that my way stuff that sits in my heart, that says I'm going to get my way. Jesus can be in my life as long as he cooperates with my agenda. And Paul, who came to Jesus in Galatians 5, here's some symptoms of this rebellious gene. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions and others. And Paul refers to this as fruit, characteristics. But you see, as we come to Christ, seek his forgiveness, which is possible through the cross, if you don't know that today. Acknowledge our rebellious ways. His spirit comes. His spirit actually physically comes and lives within inside us. Isn't that incredible? That's why you feel so uncomfortable when a command comes and you think, oh, it's not Keith getting on your nerves, it's the spirit prompting you. Don't mix the two up. We're very different. I'm trying to be more like the Lord. But you see, unless the Lord Spirit convicts us, it's never permanent. Don't react to me. When the Spirit comes, we do it. Because I so love him. And his Spirit comes, and as we cooperate with him, this is the big thing. He starts to transform us. And that annoying neighbor, all of a sudden, instead of being a target for evangelism or grief, it becomes an object of God's love. And that's a very different proposition. Because I can show him the fruit of the believer. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, great patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Beautiful. Gentleness, you can't be gentle unless you can be strong, you see. An elephant is gentle when it stands on an egg. So you've got the capacity to blow someone away. To win that debate, you're very quick-witted. Be gentle. Be gentle. Consider others above yourself. And self-control. Yet you see, we often stop there. We'll list the fruit on both camps. But Paul carries on in verse 24 of Galatians 5. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. It's like a little walk. And every day, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, what is it you want? How can I do that? I'm not out of character, but how can I just bless the neighbors, my workforce? Is it about being nice to those who are like me? Jesus said even the pagans do that. We said that last week. Paul says, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. See, the key here is an ongoing cooperation, keeping in step with the Spirit. Connected, a constant, conscious link. You see, for me, if I'm out of sync with the Spirit, and it normally happens if I'm out of shape or angry about something, I'm not reading that, I'm not going there, I'm not praying, I don't want to do this. We're good at this. We are real good at this. If I'm out of sync, step with the Spirit, then transformation, can I say, if we're out of step with the Spirit, transformation is impossible. You'll become in the image of your church. I've seen loads of that. I want to become in the image of Jesus, don't you? That image of Jesus. You see, if I'm out of step with the Spirit, I become static. So when we speak of conversion, when the Holy Spirit first does his work, first just brings us to the cross and opens the way, and we see the way of forgiveness. That's the first thing we see. The Spirit brings and we go, wow, Holy Spirit, I've never seen that before. Maybe someone told you the gospel, but you never really got it. Oh, wow, thank you for Jesus. We need to speak of the ongoing following. You can't have conversion without following. Keep in step with the Spirit is following. That's it. God's image bearers to a broken world. We are saved to be ambassadors, image bearers, disciples, whatever, daily followers of Christ. And no amount of self-help courses, groups, can achieve any of this. It's only as I see others as broken people who were created to be in His image. It's only as I consider others before and above myself, as I keep in step with the Spirit to know how He wants me to be, it's only then can I truly serve and value others around me. Help me to, that song we sing, I love it. Lord, break my heart with what breaks yours. Everything for your kingdom's cause. So the practical ways, you're doing really well. It starts with me. That's why this happened for me. I knew it started with me in my house, in my street, with my neighbours, where I lived most of the time, when for 2 hours on a Sunday, I can look fab. If I have to cram my whole following into this, it's a sham, isn't it? I want to get real. You want to get real with God? You want to get excited about getting up tomorrow morning and saying, wow, what are you going to do in my street tomorrow? What are you going to do with my neighbour? What are you going to do with my boss tomorrow? What about that? Does that sound more exciting than what we're doing now? I think so. I might be on my own with that. I don't think I am, because I've got some really friendly smiles. And as people see us, as they see what transformation looks like, we can talk about our failings. They're good for people to know we're not perfect. It will have an impact. Well, don't take my word for it. Jesus, a new command I give you, John 13:4. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Everyone. Isn't that incredible? Everyone will know you're my disciples if you love one another. Matthew 5, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. 1 Peter 2, it's not just Jesus. Peter, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. Can I just finish with some questions? How am I doing loving others? Loving my neighbors. Loving my work colleagues. I just want to pray for us, and then we're going to sing a couple more songs. Please talk to me if anything has struck a chord with you. It's not all about these. What I would say there is, this is a prompt. This is just about, every day it sits on your side, and you're thinking, I'm going to pray. I need to pray for those at number 7. I don't even know their names. I've been here 10 years. Come on. Come on. Keep ourselves to ourselves. Do you? They might in England, but we don't in the kingdom. We don't in the kingdom. Jesus never said, keep yourselves to yourselves. Hate that expression. Shall I pray? Lord, help us to represent you well, to see people as broken people, yet people in your image. Lord, help me to put others above myself, to serve them as you did, to go down and down, willing to go down further. And Lord, to do this, to keep in step with the Spirit, that I might hear your voice, Holy Spirit, know where, when, who, how. Help me, Lord, to value others and to honor your name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.